And our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Matthew 24. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to Advent 2019. So, here we are, the start of a new season, the start of Advent. And when people think about Advent, the object that might pop into their head straight away, other than this object here, would be this one, the Advent calendar. Seems to be probably the most popular icon of the Advent season and the thing that people tend to think of. But it can be the thing that leads people to think that Advent is something that's for children rather than for adults. It's about just getting excited for opening all those presents by maybe getting a little chocolate each day out of your Advent calendar. I heard someone being interviewed on the radio this week, and they were given an Advent calendar by the presenter to the person they were interviewing. And as the presenter handed it over, he said to him, "So are you going to obey the law of the Advent doors? As in, are you going to open one every day? You're just going to go for it and open them all?" He said, "No, of course I'm going to obey the law of the doors. What's the point of an Advent calendar if you're not going to open one a day?" I can remember when me and my brother were young, and my brother used to eat the chocolates from the coming days and then sort of close the doors so that you couldn't tell. But what's the point in that? Because the following day he was going to open it and there's not going to be anything there, you know, and you're going to run out, aren't you? So part of the discipline of Advent, part of the entering into the season, is this thing about having patience and doing the waiting and God meeting you in the waiting. Waiting, expectancy, and hope. Three key words for this season. But perhaps the question is, what are we waiting for and what are we hoping for? At Advent, we are invited to put our hope in Jesus. Not just a historical figure who lived a long time ago, who said certain things and did certain things, but at Advent, we're invited to also look forward to Jesus' return in the light and hope to look forward to Jesus' return and in the light of that to see that right now is filled with hope. Jesus' return will bring restoration, an end to evil, peace on earth. So we stand in the now, we look to the future, and it changes the present. Advent is also about preparation. But the question, therefore, is what are we preparing for? Christmas preparations, perhaps. We need to do lots of Christmas shopping. We need to put up the tree, put up the decorations. All that stuff keeps us very busy and occupied. But these preparations are not for outward things, but rather for inward transformation. Advent invites us to prepare for Jesus' return. We look forward to celebrating his birth because we know that that birth led to the cross, that led to the resurrection, that will lead to Jesus returning and putting all things right. So we look back with thankfulness, we look forward with hope, and we draw on both those things to live well in the present. A few weeks ago, we were celebrating Remembrance, and on Remembrance Sunday, I spoke about the symbolism of the poppy and how it invites us to look back at the horrors of war, but to look forward with hope for a peaceful future. That's what the creators of the poppy are hoping that we will get out of that symbol. And then a perhaps even more powerful symbol we have in the cross that invites us to look back at the pain and suffering of Jesus on the cross, but also to look future with hope, to look to the future with hope because of the resurrection. We look back with thankfulness, we look forward with hope, and we draw on both to journey well in the here and now, in the present. Our reading this morning was from Matthew 24, and it was all about keeping watch and being ready. Jesus asks us two questions, essentially. Are you ready? And are you awake? Are you ready? And are you awake? When I think about getting ready, I think about our family in the morning getting ready for school. It's usually a bit chaotic. The eldest will kind of take care of ourselves, but the younger two, they need a bit of assistance to get their uniform on, to make sure they've had their breakfast, to make sure they've packed their bags, to make sure everything's ready, to make sure we get out the door on time so that they can get to school on time. And it's usually a bit of a rush and it's a bit manic, but it's all about getting ready. What is Jesus wanting us to be ready for? Well, for his return. It can be hard to imagine Jesus' return. We don't like it. It's hard for us to imagine it. It's almost beyond what we can think of. And some of the imagery in the Bible can make it more confusing rather than less. We don't know exactly what it will look like. The Bible is full of picture language about the end times, especially in Daniel and Revelation. And these are not descriptive, but figurative. They're weird and wonderful pictures. The Bible can be difficult to understand sometimes. Here's an example of how we can easily misinterpret Scripture. Our reading this morning from Matthew. But about that day and or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. So just look at those last two verses. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and one will be left. When you hear those sentences, I wonder what you think of. Maybe your mind quickly goes to the rapture. You imagine people being zapped up to heaven, floating up at great speed, because there's two people in the field and one is being whisked away up into heaven to be with Jesus and the other is being left to face destruction on the earth. But that actually contradicts what else I know about the second coming, which is that we won't be whisked away into heaven up there somewhere, but Jesus is coming back to earth. I mean, the clue's in the title, it's the second coming, not us going, Jesus coming. So what is this about? Jesus came to earth first as a baby, and he's returning as a king. So what is going on? Why is Jesus talking about one person being taken and another left? In this passage in Matthew, Jesus is speaking about two different future events at once. Two different things, but he's talking about them at once. Yes, he's referring to the second coming, but he's also talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. In AD 70, Rome laid siege to Jerusalem. Remember that when Jesus was born, Jerusalem and Judea were under Roman occupation. That's why there's so much violence and so much tension around. And there was a lot of political and religious tension at that time. And in the year 66, so about 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jewish groups started to rebel. They'd had enough. And lots of fighting and violence ensued. And then in AD 70, Rome sent in the troops, all their force and all their power to overtake the city of Jerusalem and to destroy the temple. And this is one of the things that Jesus is talking about. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, this terrible event is coming. The Romans are going to sweep in and destroy the city. And it will happen quickly. No one will be expecting it, just like no one expected the flood. And some will be taken off and killed, and others will be left and they will survive. So that's very different to this picture. Jesus is saying some will be taken off by the Romans and killed, they will be swept away, others will be left and they will survive, which is different to where my mind went. When I read this, my mind went, some will be taken and get to be safe with Jesus, but others will be left and they'll be destroyed. But this is the opposite of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying some will be taken by Roman occupation and others will be left. Interpreting this wrongly perhaps isn't too serious. It's still talking about Jesus' return. And that idea of talking about two things at once can seem confusing, but if you think of it like what C.S. Lewis is doing when he's writing the Narnia Chronicles. He's writing about a lion, and when we read about the lion, we know he's talking about Jesus. And that lion dies on a stone table, we know he's talking about the crucifixion. And then that lion comes back to life, and we know that C.S. Lewis is talking about the resurrection. So we can handle two different things at once, two different stories going on at the same time. As I say, interpreting this wrongly isn't too serious, but think about the way that Scripture's been misinterpreted in the past. Think about slavery and sexism and racism. Here in Matthew 24, the consequences of misinterpretation don't seem too serious. But if you read it as we are going up to heaven, away from this earth, and this earth will be destroyed, then who cares about the planet? And this is where some of that American theology comes in, that Trump is perhaps maybe the head of, where who cares about this planet? Because we get raptured, we get taken off, taken away. And that's the opposite of what the Bible tells us. In Genesis, we hear about God's wonderful creation, about how it is good and how we are called to take care of it. And then in Revelation, at the end of the Bible, we hear about how Jesus is returning to this earth, that he will restore it because he loves it and it is good. So Jesus was speaking at a very turbulent political time. I wonder what that would be like, living in a politically turbulent time. I just can't imagine. He's saying that when things are chaotic in the world, it's easy to stop paying attention to God, to God's work and God's call. It's easy to be terrified or despondent or apathetic or distracted. Are you awake? Jesus is asking us. Don't be overshadowed by the chaos of the world. Be grounded in me, says Jesus. Be grounded in hope and peace and love. Not as an escape from this world, but as a hope-filled response to the chaos that we are surrounded by. When politics and power are all over the place, remember who you are and who you belong to. Are you ready? Asked Jesus. Readiness that comes from connection to God and connection to life. That is connection to others, connection with ourselves, connection to the world that we are placed in. Bringing future hope in the present reality. See, we don't need to be concerned with the question, has God abandoned me? No, he hasn't. The question we need to concern ourselves with is, have I abandoned God? Because that's quite easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted, to get pulled away. Jesus asks us two questions this morning. Are you ready? And are you awake? So let's be ready by keeping up our connection to God and each other and the earth with love. Let's wake up to how our beliefs and actions affect the world around us. Jesus brings hope to the world. He did it in his first coming, and he continues that work in and through us, the body of Christ here on earth, and he will bring it to completion in his second coming. This Advent, let's connect with Jesus Christ as we seek his kingdom here on earth. Amen.